We'll call this meeting to order on October 6th, 2022 at 6:30 p.m. All right, so first item of business, we'll let Jason jump up and from Sunrise and give us what you got.
I've got kind of a simplified version that might be a little easier to see, and then the regular version printed on a small piece of paper. So these are those maps you requested to have. Requested to have that paper copy so that you could take a phone and review it. And hard to see the detail, obviously, on the scale down, but that's why we've been doing that. More of the detail. It doesn't have a legend on it, but it's got more or less what the different precincts are, so the different colors are the different precincts. As we looked at that map and your property descriptions of those precincts, so take a look at those and look at them. If something doesn't look right, let us know and we'll get that adjusted and finalized. And we'll give you your shape files for that too. By the consent of both directions. So we've got, we had AIC come out a couple weeks ago and meet with Dickson and myself, and we went and looked at the SCADA for the lakeland tank. I don't have it printout for me or for you right now, but I can forward it on. I just received the email today with their cost, and so we've got, as a comparison, you can see the AIC is on the top here. They had $43,800 to go through the pump station and tank controls. Their method was to utilize the existing control hardware that you have up there, the Mission cell transmitters that they have up there that are sending the data. Right now it's being managed by Mission, but what they're proposing is taking the data that those that the hardware is collecting and integrated into their SCADA software so that you're able to use it how you need to use it. Mission has some limitability on its use. It's not as user-friendly as Jim and Dixon would prefer it to be, and so a new SCADA software would make it a lot more accessible, a lot easier to use, and would do the same job as radio reads. So they're saying that this is the most economical way to go about it, is to utilize that existing hardware and then add their hardware in there as needed. So their hardware and the installation of it was that $43,800. And then they have kind of the same deal where they need to set up the software for the district to be able to use the SCADA software and then go through the trainings and get it set up that way. They said that the software itself is $18,000 for the SCADA, and that's probably where you were looking at the last bid and thinking, wow, what is that, you know? So they were able to tell me, yeah, the software itself is the $18,000, and then they go through $7,000 of setting it up and customizing it for your system and for your processes, and then going through that with Jim and Dixon and whoever else they need to be able to teach them how to use it properly. Along with that is cost for setting up a server. And then they've looked at a couple different things. They tried talking to Spectra to see about doing a data center for the server instead of having a base here. And then I think they're going to reach out to Tetris and see about getting an actual hard server here at Johnson Water that can be used for the SCADA 2. And that way you have a couple different options to look at for cost comparison. But right now they're saying, you know, put a budgetary number in there for $25,000, which is very close to what SCI had done, as you can see. So I don't know, Dixon, what was your thought on their approach to it?
It's fine to me. Jim doesn't like Mission stuff. It's like he doesn't think it's easy to use. And so he was looking for something that would be more, that would store all the data, that you could go back for a year or two and get all of the stuff. A lot of the reports we fill out, we have to be able to go back a year to get readings for the whole year. And then, you know, even over the last month. So right now on mission, you can look at 3 days. And you can move that 3 days to a different 3 days, but you can't look at a whole month.
Right. And that was a lot of the usability things that Jim was talking to me about, and I communicated those on to AIC and said, okay, this is the concern they've got with the mission approach, using mission stuff. And what their response was is that they would take the complete data set and have the complete data set available on a month-by-month or a year-by-year basis as you need it.
And it could be that we just don't know how to use it properly. There might be a hidden button that we don't know about.
So Mission is able to modify on their end as far as the data timeline that they're looking for?
So the way it works is so this company would use the data provided by the Mission hardware.
Oh, compile it.
So Mission is what's there now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then they would compile it in their own SCADA server.
Gotcha.
So that the data is available.
Is there any maintenance on that?
That's a good question. And let me, I was trying to pull up his email.
On both of them.
Yeah. Let me pull that up really quick. Okay, so
the other thing is with the mission, they have certain radios in there that are only capable of sending so many items of data, you know, and like if we put a water meter in there, right now we're getting tank level, it gives us temperature, I guess all of them do temperature for whatever.
So if you want an additional.
But you'd have to add something else in order to get the flow.
Yeah. Okay.
See what I'm saying? Because before they send it, and it's like their little radio will only send out like two or three items of information. They had a different module if you wanted more than that. Like if you
right.
had to control a valve, then you had to have a bigger
okay.
module.
And I think that's what their approach is getting a module big enough in the pump station that can handle the control of the valves and a little more than just level and temperature type of a thing. But if you guys want, I told him that we're meeting at 6:30, and he said he'd be available to call. Would you like me to get him on speaker and we can ask these questions? Because I'm not seeing them.
Let's get our questions compiled before not holding them up much. Do we have any other maintenance question? What else do we got?
What would it take as far as...
Who are you talking about calling?
The AIC. Yeah.
The top one.
What would it take to update what we do have to be comparable to what we're bidding with SCI? So we're doing apples to apples.
I think SCI was planning on doing radios. And he did give me costs for that. If you want to go the radio route, he said it's another... let's see, telemetry master station and booster station, estimated material and services of $15,000, and then to do at the tanks as well, it's going to be another $20,000, so $35,000 additional to do radio reads versus using the mission stuff.
And SCI is going to supply?
I think they were looking at supplying radios.
In their bid.
From what I understand. Is that what you understood from there?
I think so, yeah.
And we can verify that.
Yeah, we might want to verify that.
Where's AIC out of?
Salt Lake.
Yes, the AIC out of.
Mm-hmm. And I think, as I remember, it's been a couple months since we've talked to SCI. I think They were contemplating both cellular and the radios. And I thought we talked about using cellular with them too, but not mission, but a different method. So there would be a monthly cost of that, monthly service fees, just like there's with mission.
Until we get something to compare apples to apples with service, annual service with the radios, it's going to be hard to move forward with an educator.
Well, it's almost like you need a design so they're
right.
The same thing.
Right. Comparable. And right. And realistically, I mean, this is one where we say the problem that we're trying to solve is getting the controls in the SCADA, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different ways that contractors can approach that. And do we want to, I guess we can specify if you guys want to, that this is the way we want to do our design. And we can go back and talk to even SEI and say, hey, we want to value engineer this and maybe do self-service or utilize the existing. What would it take you to utilize the existing if you want to have those discussions with them? Again, this is, so from our perspective, what we are looking at is a potential subcontractor for Welding Construction to finish this project. And ultimately, we can say to them, hey, you guys need to come up with a subcontractor to finish the SCADA and controls, but this is us doing our homework and saying, hey, we've looked at option A and option B, and we feel like this is the route we want to go, and you guys basically like count them as your sub, and we've done the groundwork for you. And usually we've seen that they're pretty good about not having to look for a sub themselves and
so that out. So on SDI, they would provide us with a server, right? Just like the other guys.
Yeah.
But who would do the maintenance and stuff?
That would be up to your IT. So Tekra would maintain the.
So server. Like we have a contract with Tekra right now. Mm-hmm. On all our computers, they come in and check them and stuff.
Right.
So they could do. We could just add that to that contract, or we could not have a server and have it run through
a data center.
Through a data center like Spectra.
Mm-hmm. And then they're in charge of all the maintenance of the server and all the security on it.
And then we just access it through the internet, right?
Yes. Yep. Those are costs we're still waiting to get back, so we don't have those nailed down, but he said to use a budgetary number of the $25,000.
Yeah. What's our time frame? Are we okay still as far as the funding and everything goes?
Yeah, as far as I know, we just, so with the rest of the project, the only other pieces that we're trying to put together, and we're working with the supplier right now on this project with Johnson Supply Materials, we're working with the supplier to nail down what's going into the booster station, what all the piping that's needed, sensors, valves, etc. And then we'll put that plan together and we'll be able to send that on to Drinking Water for their approval as soon as we get that nailed down. And then they've got 30 days and then we can kick rolling onto it. So realistically, yeah, another month, I'd say, to have this squared away. So
the one up here was some add-on stuff. The other one was complete.
What do you mean, add-on
stuff? Well, are we going to use portions of the stuff that's existing?
Yes. Yeah, that was their approach to it. Was use your existing setup and your existing accounts with mission to expand on it. And there would be some new, obviously. There's nothing in the booster station right now, and there's nothing at the, they need to update too, I think. Do you have mission at the UPALCO tank as well? Or is there?
Yeah. No, that's a fleet zone.
Fleet zone, that's right, okay. So I think there's some consolidating there to make it uniform between the two tanks and the booster station.
I guess for me it'd be nice just to have a whole package deal with what radios are we, going radios are we going to sell and have them be apples
and
and if there's going to be more up as far as UPalco or Sandwash, what are we calling that up there?
UPalco tank. Yeah.
If there's going to have to be stuff take place there as well, let's get a whole cost so we're not surprised by $5,000 add-on or $10,000
add-on. And I'll send you the official proposal that he sent to me. And then I think we need to reach out to SCI because theirs was a little more vague. Theirs was just a one pager.
Yeah.
And so it would be nice if we had a list of materials and their approach to it as well.
That's what I was trying to say earlier because sometimes that wasn't in my bid. That wasn't in my
right. Right. Okay.
So that'll be a little work on your end, you guys then, as far as compiling what we want them to bid, I guess. Have a, like Dan said, just have a whole a package deal of maybe two options. If it's a sale, it's a radio,
mm-hmm.
but all inclusive would be nice.
You just don't want to run into those things. Well, that wasn't my bid. That wasn't mine.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you can add, I guess, in the process, answer those after the sale, the cost, maintenance, and stuff.
Yes.
Okay. I guess we'll table that till next time.
Okay. Will serve policy. So our conversations with our planning group, and we're going through the same thing over in Jensen right now. They are having a couple of people come in and say, hey, we want 50 connections. And Jensen's saying, we need to think about that first, obviously. That's a big ask. So what they've approached us to do is say, hey, we need to revise our policy to have something to deal with that, just like you guys have been talking about. One of the other districts that Sunrise has worked with down in Grand County, they've got a policy in place. We call it a will serve policy. And basically, the policy says that, yes, we can, if it's over a certain amount of connections, we need to have an engineering review of those connections. They even have it nailed down to every single connection has a fee associated with asking for a connection that would pay for an engineering review if it's needed. Tridel does a very similar thing where I think I've talked about that in the past, where everybody pays a fee for engineering review. Not all of the connections need the review. If they're on the larger size lines, the district is able to just say, yeah, you're good. But the ones on the smaller size lines, they always have the engineer review it and check it to make sure it doesn't impact the other connections up and down the line negatively. With a subdivision, it comes in, you know, it's a lot bigger of a deal. You got more connections, they're having bigger impact on the line. And so the will serve policy basically just says per connection fee of what you're asking, or a minimum of like $400 or $500, whichever is less, and then you can pay to have an engineer review the model and check to it, make sure it jives, make sure it works, and if it doesn't work, have the recommendations in place, and then it opens it up to where you guys have already done the checks to be able to negotiate how they're going to help mitigate the impact on the system. And if it's increasing line sizes up to a certain point or whatever, beyond that point. So I talked to our planning department that is working on your policies and procedures right now, and they got in touch with Jim, and they got some ideas from him today. They're going to be working on that in the next couple of weeks to narrow that down to have a good recommendation for you, hopefully by next board meeting. So. That's where that one sits. And then the impact fee analysis, we're kind of caught in a QC backlog right now. So it's pretty well complete, and we've got a pretty good idea. Our recommended maximum impact fee that the district is able to charge is $9,958. per connection. So that's based on the projects that are in the capital improvements list on the master plan. The one, I think I talked a couple meetings ago that number was around 3,000, but then we added in the flat top tank and what it would take to get a tank on top of Flat Top Mountain. If that subdivision or a different subdivision similar went in over there by Mutton, where they needed that additional capacity, we've put in the estimates to do that. I think it was roughly $7 million to add a tank up there and the infrastructure going from Victory Pipeline to the tank and then from the tank to the distribution system. So that being the case, that jumped the impact fees up for all the connections in the system. So the eligible impact fees are, like I say, that $9,958 per connection. And ultimately, yeah, we'll have that finalized here in the next couple of weeks once our QC catches up and is able to sign off on that. But then you guys are able to do what you want with that. If you want to increase your impact fees anywhere in the range, just not over $9,900.
What about the other half of this, or other part of it, I guess, is understanding what the education around impact fees for, what it can be used for, how it's used, what's all that, and what brought it up is
and that was part of the conversation that our planners had with Jim today, and we're still working that direction as we deal with both the wheel serve policy and impact fees. We're trying to address both of those in these policy recommendations.
Is it a policy, for instance, an example, is it a policy thing or is it an impact code thing that would dictate the connections that we have sold but not installed previous, before even impact fees were even instituted?
Do you know when, was 1997 the first time impact fees were instituted in the district, or were there impact fees before that?
I think it was like 2007.
2005,
sometime after 2007.
Okay, because you had the impact fee study that was done in 97, and the implementation of it was in 2007. And then everything, early 2000, everything before that, there was no impact fee charged. Let me relay that information, and I've tried to pry that information from our planners, and they're still digging to see what they can find on it, from what I've been told so far. So
the question, the one we're sitting with right now, is that if we've sold connections but it's not installed, is the impact fee?
Can you charge the impact fee
at the time of installation or the time of the sale of the connection? And it could be a policy thing that we would have to adopt, or it could be a code thing.
Right.
We don't know.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Like, that impact fee, I mean, that's quite a bit of money to put on a new customer.
Yes.
How would that compare to other areas?
We've got... trying to remember it. I think Tridel has a pretty high impact fee. If I remember right, it's around the $3,000 mark right now. Jensen is around the $2,000 mark for theirs. So it varies.
So theirs is that. Why would ours be $10,000?
That's just the maximum we can go to.
Right.
That doesn't mean we have to.
That's the maximum.
So okay. Part of the difference is that we're so big geographically, and in order to reach people, we have to spend more money to get to each customer. It's like we've got 185 some odd miles of pipe. And we've got 800 customers, so that's what, 800 or something, I can't remember, customers per mile, whereas like you go to a city, and they'll have a couple hundred per mile, whereas we only have 8 or 9, you know. So it costs us more money to get there.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just look at that and I think, yes, that's a lot of money just for somebody hooking up.
But you go to,
I'm like, damn, why now? I mean,
out in Park City, those are all, they're 10,000 or more out there.
What's our standing impact fee now?
2,500
now.
And that's on top of the connection, 4,000 or whatever.
No,
it's out of the 4,000. So we got $1,500 is what we got left to install it. That's why we're losing money on every connection right now.
So break that down, then $1,500. So the actual connection has the impact built in to the connection fee.
Gotcha. Yeah. A 4K call. $2,500 is the impact, $1,500 is the connection.
The actual connection. What I was trying to say before is if it's 9,000 plus another 4,000.
It'd be 9,000 plus another 1,500.
Yeah.
That's what it'd be.
If we chose to go with the study.
This is a legality. You got to do a study because we can't legally charge more than what the study would say. We had to do our due diligence that way. It doesn't mean we have to. We just need to take into account what the study covers, where we're at, and then you can make a decision. But you just can't exceed that.
But one of the things that made us start thinking about it was these guys who want to put in 400 houses over there in Highway 33. And it's like, we don't have the infrastructure right now, and to do it is going to cost, like you said, $70 million. Are we going to impose that fee on the existing customers so this guy can put a development in?
I don't know that you can.
You could, but you...
Well, you could,
you might get hung up by your toenail.
Well, and that's the thing, is those new connections would maybe be directly benefited by that tank, too. So, and some places will do a different impact fee based on where you're at in the system as well, and that gets messy. But.
It can, but I can understand, like, we're diverse. I know we have an independent system. We used to have a well system, and we had a whole bunch of different variables.
Yeah.
We've unified quite a bit, and we're going to be more unified. But
yeah. Okay. Like I say, hopefully this month snuck up on us. You guys moved up our meetings.
I know. I'm going to blame everything on that too. So
yeah.
My failures.
No. Well, we'll definitely have more information on that in the next meeting. So I talked about the maps already. The property access behind the shop here. So yes, we got the stream alteration permit finalized and went through. There's still going to be at construction, there's going to need to be a floodplain approval from the county. And I talked to the planning and building department yesterday about that, and they gave me the form that we fill out and the information needed for that form. It's basically all the information that's already been provided for the stream alteration permit. We just need to provide that with that form filled out once you have a contractor selected to go do that. I talked to Jim today. He said he went out there with Mike Weldon today. They were able to look at it and get an idea. Mike's going to be coming back with a cost, and then he's meeting with somebody else there tomorrow. I can't remember who he said it was, but hopefully we're going to get a couple different costs from contractors to be able to get that work done. Once you have one selected, then we can put that information on the permit application and then run it through the county and get it squared away. So it's just, like I say, a page and a half, and who's doing the work and where is the work happening and what is the work. And we've got the what is the work and where it's happening. We just need who's doing it. So, and then Independence Connector. I followed up with Division of Drinking Water this week, and then they were able to get that authorization letter finally sent over. So they're saying yes, we're good to go. And one of the things that we know, Dixon and I, and we've kind of brought this up in the meeting, is having a two-phase approach to the independence, having what we can do outside of the tribe right now as phase one, while we're working on the tribal easements and rights of ways at the same time, and then once those are completed, we're moved to phase two to complete that connection all the way through 3750 South, or 3700 South, whatever it is. We presented the cost, and we've discussed the cost for doing those right-of-ways. With the authorization letter out, what we've talked about is working the cost for doing those right-of-ways into an engineering contract to do that alongside design so that we get that process moving, and then it's paid for by the project, essentially, not necessarily you guys having to come up with $140,000 in addition to the project. So if that's that was what, you know, Dixon and I kind of discussed earlier today. Is that something that you would like us to do to address that, the tribal right-of-ways?
I went and went to the tribal office and spoke with the DNR director, and she worked for the BIA on the right-of-way side as well. talked to her about and got some thoughts that she thought. She said one thing that works really well is to have a meeting, a stakeholder meeting or a community meeting where you bring them all in.
Mm-hmm.
You advertise it to all the lotees, bring them in, present them all, and have the forms right there for them to sign.
Yeah.
To bring them all in that room at once and have pictures for them. They say they like pictures and know where it's impacting and stuff like that. She said that's usually your most bang for your buck.
Yeah, definitely. If we can get a hold of them all and get them all there in the same spot. Now, they require the 51% to sign off on it to be able to grant the right-of-ways.
She said hopefully the tribe owns some of that. Sometimes a lot of those lotees, the tribe actually owns more than the lion's share anyway.
Okay.
So she said if you can do that, she said many times people have utilized that method at least to try to get the lion's share of the people.
Yeah.
So with that, the business committee would sign for the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that's not, she didn't think that would be a problem at all.
That would be a great way to go.
If they, you know, if it happens to be, they'd be a big part of those ownership.
Right. Yeah. So we've got the two locking parcels that we're dealing with, the two big ones, and we just need to identify all the lotees. And I think we'll start that process now with BIA of, okay, these are the parcels, give us the list of the lotees, and then we'll start reaching out to them because...
They provide that. That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah.
She said, it'd be good to use a consultant. I said, I think Sunrise has one.
Yeah.
She recommended that, and I said, well, they've already got her working.
Yeah.
Or in the back pocket, anyway.
We do, and that comes into play later when we start, when we get to the point of doing the negotiations and saying, yes, this is what the district's willing to pay for your right-of-way based on the appraisals, based on your approval to allow the surveys and the appraisals. Before that, it's you have to reach out to the lotees to get permission to survey, and then permission to, then you have to get the appraisals. And then once the appraisals and the survey done, then we have our consultants go out and meet with them as many as we can to say, okay, this is what it's valued at, and this is what...
This is what we'll pay you to add value to your property.
Right. So, if we can get all of those lotees together at a meeting and have a barbecue or something, I don't know, that would make it quicker.
She said that it's the way to go.
Yeah.
And she's done it. And where she's helped entities do that before.
Yeah. Who was it that you talked to?
Luana.
Okay.
Thompson.
Yeah, I've done with her before too, so.
Winter's coming. We're going to barbecue.
Yeah, the buckskins and, buckskins and, what's the other term? The buckskins. trading stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way to get it done. So I bring them in, give them some food, and show them the pictures, and get them, you know, show them how it impacts them, show them on visual so they don't have to try to visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
Have papers there.
Yeah.
Done.
That's some very good input on that.
So these original lotties that sign off on this, is it the original?
The descendants.
So it's original and descendants, and it goes down and down and down and down and wider and wider and wider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to get 51% of those?
Yeah.
We're hoping that the tribe owns 50% because some of those, as tribe, they absorb some of those. The people who own them sometimes will just deed them over to them in their death.
Right. And that's our contact that we've used before. She's familiar with a lot of the families and is able to find out where they are. And
is that somebody local?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her name's Cookie.
So what do we need to do to get that started?
Well, and that's what I was saying is, if you guys want us to do a separate contract for that, we can. Or my thought was putting that in the contract for design for the whole independence. And then we'll have that prepared and ready for our next meeting so that you're able to review that and have that be part of it if that's the direction you want me to go.
You good with that? Roll it in with the current one.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll get that prepared and have that ready for your next meeting.
Okay.
That's all I have.
How's Aaron's stress level?
It's fun. It's a fun time right now. He's all over the place, isn't he?
Well, I'm just saying with that DOT and 191 stuff.
Yeah.
I talked to him yesterday. He was pretty stressed.
We lost the bid for that one, for the passing lanes. And he was a little bit relieved at that point because...
That's a big project. Well,
yeah, no.
Well, it's study work on. It's a big project.
Right. The study is a lot of a pretty big one. But
where was that?
Indian Canyon.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do that this summer. That's what they said. So it was going to be one of their projects.
We say that stuff all the time. You know how it is.
I thought you were talking about the Flaming Gorge project.
So is
that's going to be a big
Simplot.
Yeah, that one.
Rerouting the whole road there?
Yeah. Not Simplot. DOT is.
But there's Simplot's giving them the land to put it
on.
Right.
Yeah, so they can get it back. They're already starting to build stuff there to take over the road. They're excited about it.
Sure.
But it's supposed to be, I guess, just one big old sweep.
It throws all the switchbacks?
Yeah, just goes out and around, just going one big old crescent change.
Ooh, a big change.
Truck traffic will double. Coming down off the hill.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Anybody have anything else for him? All right, we'll go to... We'll now go to the minutes. I'll take a motion to approve the minutes of September 7th. Made by Dan, seconded by Paul. Review and any discussion or any changes needed?
I didn't see any. Maybe someone else did.
Whenever you guys are ready to call for a question, let me know. Hey, those things, if I hear those things break wrists, so you better be careful.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised you're still on one of those.
Your wife let you in there?
I've probably been more since I broke my wrist than I did before. Well, I've had that in ankle right now.
So. Just don't go riding with him and company. You'll get hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever, I didn't hit him.
But we had a couple of people from Roosevelt come on to a race a couple weeks ago. Pretty good. So. You guys can do that.
I got a 300 KPM, holy crap.
The TPI?
Huh?
TPI? Or the...
The four two-stroke.
Yeah.
300, yeah. Jeez, please. Scary. I'm too old for that. I need to trade down to 100, 4cc.
Yeah. What year is yours?
15. 14.
Okay.
14.
Oh, okay. It was before they did the TPI.
Yeah.
Now, that, those are still a lot of fun. My friend that talked to me put on the race, he's got a 22, 300 smooth. Is it good? We'll see ya.
See you later. Have fun. You guys are on the, I take it you're on the financial solace.
I'll move to approve. Or did Dan already move?
We're going to call for a question. Those in favor of adopting September 7th meeting minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed? Unanimous. Now for the financial report. Accept a motion for that. Drew, you started.
Yeah.
Drew, move that we accept the financial report of September, seconded by Paul. Discussion? Let me know when you're ready to call for the question. Is this getting too big for the stapler?
Oh, I don't have anything, and I just
get one of
the staples all at once, and then I'm going to take it.
In some of those real deep meter pits where we have to put manholes over them, the regular antenna is only 6 feet and it won't reach. But we have a couple that are like almost 15 feet deep. So that's really good. And like some of these vaults for fracking, the water meter's way down in, and so it takes a long time because it's not near a road like the one out on Dart's property out there. Mm-hmm. So we can get it from the highway, we have to bring it up and put it on a pole, so it needs a really long cord to go down to the meter.
On the square
pole.
When copper testing down there in Independence, is that for individual? Is that for what?
So every 3 years we have to do lead and copper sampling, and it's in Independence it's 5 samples, and in this system it's 10. We're on reduced sampling. Normally it would be 20 because of the population we have, but we've never had any problem until Paul gave us a sample the other day.
How did mine turn out?
Yours is fine. You should be getting a letter any day now. Karen mailed it the other day. All the results for people, what we did. But we have to do that every 3 years.
So this is on the main system thing?
There's two lines there. One's for Independence, and the one below is for the big system. You see them? It's lead and copper Independence.
Well, I just see three in the row there.
Oh, there's three?
Page one.
Yeah, the one is the narcotic disinfection narcotic.
One's 550, one's 270, one's 495.
The 270 is Independent lead and copper, and the 495 is the main system.
Okay.
And then the disinfection byproducts.
The disinfection byproducts, we have to do that every quarter.
Okay.
Just on the main system, we do it every, and we have to do that every 3 years on Independence. So every quarter we pay that $550 for disinfection byproducts testing. And then every 3 years we do the lead and copper testing. And they used to be on different years, but they, drinking water, changed it so that we did them both at the same time. So it makes it a little easier on us doing them both.
Okay, yeah. I just, I went to that one lead and copper class, and I wondered if it was just testing individual residences. Or
no, but that's that new rule coming out where by 2024, December, I think it's December 2024, we have to have our initial inventory of all service lines verified how many have lead in them. As far as we know, we don't have any.
Correct.
But there's always, we have to verify it by going in the basement or having them sign a thing saying that their service line is not lead. The only problem that I could foresee is that somebody used to have a well, and they put in a lead service line from their well to their house, and then they connected to Johnson Water, and they connected the new lateral to their old lead service line. That's the only thing I can figure out.
So basically, the only things that are probably an injury at all is something that's been existing for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. But we have never run across a lead service line or even a galvanized pipe. We always, almost every single one either goes to HDPE plastic or to maybe copper. I don't know, I don't even remember a copper. Some people, there's been a few that hook to PVC. But no lead.
Well, that house that I built that Logan was in now, that was a single roll of copper that came all the way
from the meter?
From the meter into the, well, it goes through the sleeve and then comes up in the house.
Yeah.
But it was...
So that one's fine.
Rolled copper.
But there, that's the big thing is, well, they have to do the analysis, and then they're getting federal money of up to, I can't remember the number, something over $100,000 to mitigate houses that have issues. But as far as I know, we don't have any, because we're relatively new, you know. They quit using lead before 1971.
But like you said, it may be a risk on an old well to get converted. That makes sense.
Well, that makes sense too, because I graduated high school in 72 and I worked in construction and I've never seen any lead pipes, so that's what I wondered.
Yeah.
That was before Johnson Water's time. So a question for you, Dixon. Do we do some sort of rudimentary PO system? So you know how to allocate your... We're buying a lot of stuff on materials for...
You know, usually on purchase orders, if we're doing a special project, we'll just put the name of the project.
So yeah, you are.
But sometimes if it's just a repair on a PRV, we just put stock or something like that, you know.
That just helps you, because we got to have some sort of tracking system to do that.
And so system repairs the materials that come out.
Some materials is what you're used on a project.
Mm-hmm. Materials is what they have in the stock outfit.
So system repair and maintenance.
That's the stuff that they repair out. So
what would you call the Pleasant Valley line that we bought materials for?
Pleasant Valley Construction.
It wouldn't be under a ledger account though. But you have a way to...
Yeah.
We have a system to do that.
I just
wondered if there would ever get audited for that kind of stuff. Since we're claiming, I mean, how would they know that we didn't overclaim it? So we'd have to have some sort of tracking system that we could say, this is what we did.
Sure.
This is how we allocate. I mean, they got it. As long as you can show you have a system in place and can...
Yeah.
Pull it.
Yeah, most of theirs when they do the repairs, it'll say like Dale Ralph with a line or meter or something.
And that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that we're tracking it in some an audible format, right?
Yeah, that's what we usually do is if there's a name attached to it, we just say, Galactus, do you have a purchase order? And I say, yeah, just put it down. It's John Doe or whoever it is.
That's why I said rudimentary. At least you got a rudimentary system. It's auditable, right?
But on generic things, like if we're repairing a PRV or a valve, like I buy a lot of valve extensions, and I just put
general
supplies or something like that. I carry some around with me because they're, if you keep them, it's fine line. If you get too high, they get run over by a grader. If they're too low, they get flooded when it rains. So you got to kind of keep it in between there.
It sounds like you got a cover. I just wanted to make sure that we had something. Whatever works, I don't know.
Electric is the pump and everything. Is that all in one?
The electrical power, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, is that just all in one? Is that?
Well, we have, what, how many bills do we get? Like 4 or 5 bills?
For electric?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all one bill now. We converted it so that everything's on one, so we just pay one bill every month.
There's not really a breakdown as to the
bill. I don't break it down in here, but the bill itself.
The bill is rolled down in.
Yeah.
So our costs have gone up quite a bit from last year. It's over budget because we've been using a lot of well water and running the pumps.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if this included everything, you know, buildings, pumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had our fall conference, I guess, rural water, that's what the lodging is. They had their rural water
and then we had the fall conference, and then Ryan did that
certification
class.
So. How did he do?
He didn't pass. Close, but not pass.
Study again.
Yep.
Okay. Call for a question. Any more comments? Questions? Okay. I call for the question. Those in favor of adopting the financial report? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. We have that back. We still have budget to talk about. No, she wants us her clips anyway, huh?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the manager's report.
Okay. Anybody bring your notebook?
Sure.
So I've just been going over this, and I've got a bigger one here where I've got the operating regulations, the bylaws, the water rules and regulations, the master plan, the rates, conservation plan, policies with purchasing and personnel, consumer confidence report, contract with Victory, Oventive, Roosevelt, and Mike. And so I was thinking of getting all of those things in your book so that you would have all of that information. Because we have those contracts, for example, and it's good for the board to know what's in those contracts. We have a contract with, there's another one I forgot, Duchesne. We don't have a contract right now, but eventually we will. And then we've got the commitment to Victory, which is a huge commitment that we... What was it? Whether we use any water or not, it's like $79,000 a year. What's up, though? They raised their rates, right? So they went from 55 cents a thousand to 65. So it's even higher now. They have, in the contract, it gives them the ability to raise it every 5 years. So that 5 years was just up, and they raised it from 55 to 65. Anyway, so the whole idea is that so that you guys can be more informed on everything, you know. The master plan, it tells the engineers went through and showed what projections are for growth and population over the next 5 to 10 years. And they got maps and all kinds of stuff in there. We've got several copies of this, right? I don't think we got one for everybody, but we can make copies. But we can also put all of this stuff online so that if anybody's interested, they can look it up and see what our policies are and what our rates are and what our master plan says. But anyway, it's kind of a resource because you guys are not going to sit through and read this whole thing. You know, but if you have a question,
you can go
look it up and find out the answer if we have a policy. Now, on some of these, they're like the ones that we passed out are proposed. They're just drafts. We haven't adopted them yet. They're not official policy. They're just proposed policy. And so what I'm suggesting is that we just take a section of those policies and just go through them. Like he was talking today, just as an example, I don't want to talk about it today, but just as an example, he was talking about the costs involved in developing new things for the new system, you know? And this one talks about how you go about figuring out what they own, what they need to pay, because it costs us money. They come to us, like these guys out here, they come to us and they want to know if we can provide them water. It's like, well, they haven't really given us anything to base it on. It's like, well, it may be somewhere between 100 and 400 houses. It's like,
a little bit of difference.
Yeah. And we have to take our engineer to review it, and it costs us money. It's like, we shouldn't be doing that for free for them, where there should be a fee involved. If they present something to us, they say, well, you bring us your plans, we'll have our engineer review them, but there's also a $1,500 fee to review your plans for that kind of a thing. You know, depending on how big it is, you know, it may be only a couple $100 or, you know, or we could look at somebody's house, they're putting two houses on our main line, it's like, there's no problem, you know, we don't need to charge a fee at all. We can just say it's approved, you know. But just coming up with those fees, for example, almost every new construction has to have a letter saying the water availability. It's like, we do it for free, but it costs us money. Are we going to charge a fee for a letter to be sent for water availability? You know, even if it's only $5 to $10, you know, $20, I don't know. It takes time and it takes research, you know. Karen comes to us, well, is there water available at this place? And we look on the map and say, oh, yeah. Well, they're going to have to cross the road, you know, whatever, you know. Just little things like that. So we could go through fee schedules and set those up. But those are just examples of something that we can spend maybe half an hour in a meeting once, you know, in our regular meetings, just discussing those until we've got it.
Until we went through it.
Until we've got it ironed out and we'll decide what we want to do. So, anyway.
Well, and let's pick a subject and say, okay, we'll be prepared for this subject next.
Okay, do you want to pick one? I was thinking, oh, also in the very front of the original, I don't think I gave these to you because I added a lot of stuff to this after I passed those out. But these are the original bylaws and operating regulations from when Johnson Water started. And I read through them and it's like, some of them are still good, but others need to be changed.
That's what Sunrise's guy was working
on. Yeah, so he's working on that. And then we have this other examples of things that I copied from other districts and stuff. But anyway.
Like I said, the reason to pick a section is so that we can be reviewing what's here and that come to that next meeting, so we're not sitting there just starting from zero. And
so it's like I think you guys got this on page 4 of the rules and regulations or something.
Is it possible to say
Johnson Water Water Rules? It says that it has resolution adopted on anyway. Then it goes through and it has definitions. It goes through
1.1.
So it goes
from right there.
Yeah. So it has like 3 or 4 pages of definitions.
Right.
And then it goes through fees and what they charge fees for. So water service fees, standby fees, culinary water fees, alternative water service provider fees. Anyway, it goes through all the fees. So we could just go over the fee schedule next month if you'd like to do that. Some of them may apply to us and some of them may not. So you can read through those and we can just discuss it next time.
Well, this would be on page 7B, standby fees, for all of the fees.
All of them.
Okay, so fees starting at 3.0.
Correct. Yep. And it's all of the, let's see, what does it go to?
3.6 at the last.
3.6?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like
7 pages. I can handle 7 pages. You know, it's when I'm thinking of the whole book.
When you get a whole book, you're like, oh, that's a big pill to swallow. I get it. That's a great idea.
So we're going to go from 2.0?
3.0
to 3.6.
7.0.
So all the fees we'll discuss.
Dean's problem, Mike.
Okay. Good idea, Dan.
And the fire suppression policy.
Does it mean someone immediately, Bill?
That was a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do on that. We haven't really made any decisions or investigations. And I was on vacation for 2 weeks, so I don't know. I really didn't look at it.
It'd be nice to be able to find something that we could reference. Somebody has something.
That guy's number.
Our fire marshal representative for our area. Not Mike Butler, it's another guy. He'd probably have a contact that we can refer to.
It helps a lot when you have somebody's already done the legwork, you can just modify that. It makes such a easier process.
See, and I went through other companies. Not everybody, but I've been through a few looking for a service policy on that. I haven't seen anything. So maybe if we can go through the fire marshal, we might be able to find some.
We'll do a little follow-up on that.
Anyway, we're chasing a lot of frack water lately. I mean, it's kind of slowed down right now, but when I was on vacation, we were just... Oh, yeah, I'll give you some updates on that, too. So we were using a lot of water, and they had to cut us back because the plant couldn't keep up because of algae bloom. But as of the 20th, I think it was, the new process is online. And their filter runs have gone from 12 hours to like 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's working great, they say. Okay. So.
Can better for the price we're paying.
Yeah.
But that's good to hear. It's finally online.
So it takes the plant capacity up to 10 million gallons a day. And so from what I saw, I was still on vacation, but Chuck sent some emails out. And he says it's just getting better and better. It's working like a charm, so. That's good. But then our frack usage dropped off. They're just between fracks somewhere, so we're not really using a lot of water. They needed all the water during the algae event. Now the algae event's over, or the new process is so algae doesn't affect us anymore. But now the demand is down. We're selling about 500 gallons a minute to XCL through Cabo Hollow.
Is the pond up there? They're still using it?
Mm-hmm. Is Roosevelt filling it as well, right?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I asked Ryan to look and see, but
that's about all we can push in that one, isn't it? Five?
We've done as high as 700. But it's probably better to slow it down a little bit.
They're going to fill it.
And then we're also selling well water to them, too.
Good. Sell as much of that stuff we can. That's the best.
So we got one, we alternate between wells, so we use one for a while, then we turn the other one on. And then the Pablo Hollow pit. So, but what I started to say is we've been chasing water all over the place for these fracks. And so we haven't got going on the Brad Knight line over there yet. We may have to contract that out. Jim's looking at seeing if he can find somebody to do that because it's just... He took it over there too. So that's the status on that. But it's good to have the plant done and we don't have to worry about algae anymore. And the water, I don't know if it'll taste different. I don't know.
We should be noticing, huh?
Yeah, because it's...
I'm hoping it's less hard. Is there anything that they do that they've changed that would influence that? Filtering process is a little different, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope it's a little less hard, because...
I know some people have really complained about hard water, but... usually, groundwater is harder. You know, if you get well water, that's a lot harder than lake water. Like Roosevelt City, there should be harder than ours because we have surface water. But we've had enough complaints. It could be also that we still have residual linings on our pipes from the well, and so it mixes the iron that was coating the pipes.
Because on my side, though.
And it creates hardness in the water that is, so the new water dissolves the
existing
lining, and so it comes out hard because it used to be the well water going through there.
Should be for my area though.
So is that one of the areas that the taste is getting bad?
No, not taste, it's just hard. Just my ice machine breaks because it gets scaled up, and so we use the still water. You know, the necessities of life, you know.
Ice machines.
You got a water softener?
Mm-hmm.
And still...
I don't drink water softeners, water.
Oh, you drink. You have a bypass for drinking water?
Just put it in my hot. I just do the hot, so... I don't do a whole system because I don't drink sodium water.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about hard water. I don't know.
I know. I just was hoping that this plant, something they've done, maybe it would help them.
It might, I don't know.
Just a hope. So it's not terrible. It's just there. I've seen worse because my grandma and grandpa lived in Montwell. Not only was it hard, it turned everything orange.
Yeah.
Your Sunday shirts were
orange. Yeah, that's what that well water does.
Mm-hmm.
The inside of our pipes. We're still, and I hope that the new process fixes this, but we still have chlorine residual problems. And last year it was really bad, and this year it's still bad, but it's not quite as bad. But we can't get, it's like it's a summer, August, September, the location where we get chlorine goes closer and closer to the plant. It won't stay. If we're fracking, we can get chlorinated water closer, like on Cabo Hollow, we got chlorine way out there. But we can't get it down on Lawnsville.
So it's just dissipating before it gets...
Yeah, dissipating.
Flow's not enough?
Yeah, unless you've got a really, you know, if you got a 500 gallon a minute flow, you're going to get it.
And it's probably not something new. It's probably something we've always had. We just never really tracked it.
Well, it actually got worse after the Dollar Ridge fire because of the nutrients in the water, because the nutrients chew up the chlorine. And so with this new process, it's supposed to improve that. And I've noticed, I keep checking, because we get it directly from the Victory Pipeline, and the Victory Pipeline's turned over probably two or three times since the new process. And when I first came back, I checked the inflow, and we're getting 0.6. But today, we're up to 0.8. So I don't know whether it's because it's cooled down or because we're rinsing out the lines and it's extending farther, but it goes into that tank up there in Ioka. It goes in at 0.8. It comes out at 0.6. And 3 miles away down Ioka Lane, there's nothing. And part of it is that there's just not a whole lot of flow. People aren't watering lawns with all that rain and stuff. If we weren't fracking, our flow would be about maybe, I'm guessing, about 100 gallons a minute out of...
Oh, wow. Is that big of a difference? Of course, the timing of those storms are perfect for water.
Water's the best.
We're coming out of Bridgeland Tank, we're getting 500 to 600 gallons a minute right now. And that's with that frack going. But they also put in another 80 at Lake Borum, and we're getting 300 gallons a minute going into Ioka out of the
coal
line vault. And so we're selling some of that is going into the pit up there at Shiners, and then the rest. So we're only getting about 100 gallons a minute going into the rest of the system.
Wow.
So
I'll go home and flush bottle my toilet.
Maybe 200 gallons a minute. It's what we're using for residential.
That's crazy.
You turn your pivot on.
Yeah.
When we were fracking it.
It needs water to get
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we're just getting there.
We were putting out, 1,200 gallons a minute out of Bridgeland, plus another 300 out of, and then we were also going out of Central Basin for a while, weren't we? Do you remember? I think we're taking it out of Central Basin too while Ovintic was cracking. So we're getting to like close to 2,000 gallons a minute. Now we're down to 200. So it's all over. It's either feast or famine, you know.
Well, one good thing about those fracks, it does clean the system. Or keeps the system fresh.
That's what's scary is if they stop. We got a lot of lines to flush.
Yeah. Okay. Is that everything?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Any questions before we move on? Property update, Roosevelt City. We're waiting on a trigger with Roosevelt City Council giving approval on the annexation, which they received. These are the letters of the approval.
The petition. The public hearing notice.
Oh. And that's coming up next, or 18th. But we're not waiting on that. We are waiting on that?
We're not, per contract.
Yeah.
But I believe they are.
They want to make sure it's all done before. Yep.
To tell them we'll maybe start advertising it then.
Yep.
Tell them we were a little nervous, so we're going to start advertising and see what annex property will
be. There you go. I checked with Sunrise today, title company, just to verify. In light of the information, I did talk to Wyatt the other day and said, as far as the contract states, it was the petition that was accepted from the council. The petition is basically to move it forward. The public hearing is what they feel like they were contracting for the approval after the public hearing. Our interpretation of that was the petition. I did talk with Sunrise today because I wanted to know how far along they were in the process, but earnest money is in escrow with them, so it is there. Their paperwork, everything is ready to go as soon as they get the green light, they're ready to go. So, how are we good?
You want me to text them the green light?
Right.
You can find a gift with that.
So the 18th is when City Council has their public hearing, and after that, it goes to the
Lieutenant Governor's
office.
Is that that? I've seen a copy, or I've seen the letter.
I think you got the... This is the probably one you got.
No, I seen this.
Oh, you seen that one?
That one there.
I had a question. A protest to an annexation petition under Section 10.2.403 may be filed only by the legislative body or governing board of an affected entity. So what all does that mean?
By the governing body. So basically, if the county wants to protest, they can, for moving the property from the county to the city. That's the statute they're referring to, the state code.
Yeah, 10.2.403, section.
This is Patrick's.
But on this thing, too, it's, you know, not just Johnson Water, but it's Patry.
Yes.
Yeah, and John Patry.
Yeah.
So if the owners around here want to protest, they can't? Is that what
Yes, they can.
Oh, they can.
Okay.
But a protest, means I don't want it.
Right.
Has no value. It has to be against, they have to cite some ordinance or some sort of law or something, code that we're violating in order for it to be considered.
They'll review all the protests if there is any, as far as the public goes, if there's any warranted, they'll take the time to digest and sort through and the validity of them. But that is referring to, I believe the county can protest. If it's detrimental of some sort that the county give that property up to a municipality, they can. And there will be another one coming out, just FYI. The state came up with some new statute a year ago that they told nobody about, that in order to start the petition, you have to send a letter of intent to file for an annexation petition. Basically the same thing, but that gives an opportunity for, like Jim Patrick, for example, if he wanted to jump on board with the annexation, he has time to get in on the annexation, so he doesn't have to do it solely by himself. So we failed to do that as Roosevelt City because we had no idea.
Mike Hyde, the county didn't have any, they don't have any idea either, but they're the ones that actually have to do it. So Mike just sent the letter out today. So you'll be getting another letter. That's what it is.
That's on the state side.
Or the state requires it.
The county's responsible for it.
After they received the letter from Wyatt Roosevelt City.
Okay.
So he did send that
out. It was supposed to go out for a
first. So to satisfy the statute, we sent it out a little out of order, but still it will comply.
Anything cast out?
No, everything went through council. Like I said, the public hearing will be the 18th, if anybody's interested.
See if they can... I don't know if these guys...
No, I've seen
Paul.
So other than the...
So that's 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks. That's a Tuesday. A week from this coming Tuesday is when the 18th is. So we're a little under 2 weeks, 10 days away, 11 days away. And I guess you could do the math. All right. 12 days away.
Yeah.
So, does the board want to press our understanding and say, look, let's get this close because it's pretty clear in the contract that it was upon Roosevelt City agreeing to it. I can see that definitely pretty clear, but it sounds like they want to drag their feet. They've already, no matter what really happens, they've already forfeited the $10,000, but that's not relevant to me. I mean, it is, but...
because it's supposed to have been closed.
Yeah. Well, the trigger should be happening. Yeah, we should be closing.
Because the Roosevelt City has
accepted the petition. In their mind, the acceptance of the petition, the way that he explained it, the acceptance of the petition, they thought it was basically closed at that point. Guaranteed. Well, there's another step. There has to be a public hearing.
Well, I don't want to happen.
I told them that exactly.
Is that it's going to say the lieutenant governor?
That's what I voiced to. I said, look, you guys are going to have to draw a line in the sand somewhere, or we're going to have problems. They said, well, we were under the interpretation of the public hearing. Their concern is the public hearing. They think the public can turn this around if so be. And I said, look, it's basically explained what you just did as far as the public. Opinions and things, but the county, every division of the county that was necessary to sign off has planning department, the survey, and the commissioners. So it's all the green light. The public scares them still that they can come with pitchforks and turn this around. Which in reality,
did you tell them they didn't turn around the propane place?
Right.
So. No matter how bad they wanted that.
It's a couple weeks away yet. Like I said, we better be closing that week out then.
What are their temperatures?
So my question is, do you have proof that the money's in escrow?
Yes, I do. I call it
today. The earnest money or the...
Unless Sunrise is lying, which I don't think they would. I called Jordan today at Sunrise, and he said yes, $10,000 is in escrow in their possession. And because I had the same question, so either way, we've got $10,000 sitting there.
What's that board? want to give them to the 18th and then close, or?
Well, it'll have to be after the 18th.
Get the public approval and just give them that, or do you want to force it?
What kind of costs are involved with trying to re-advertise? Did you say that earlier? Do you want to put it up for advertise again?
Well, I just... the land...
To prove a point.
Yeah, to scuttle them along a little bit. We're out of contract right now.
Right.
So we can do whatever we want. So I just hope that they understand that that's the case. that we, you know, we're out of contract now. We could go to advertising and see if we could find a more lucrative buyer, or we can just let this ride out for another 2 weeks and close on the after the public hearing is done. When the public hearing, the council will say we're going to move forward, or we need to, if there's any merit there, then we need to further.
So if they'll only have the one public hearing, they'll ask if all of our findings, if there's any problems with the county level, so on and so forth, which there hasn't been. So it'll basically be they'll hear whatever public comment there is, they'll go into closed session to discuss it, and move on it, or excuse me.
So there's nowhere that if someone got access to the contract that had been, it's null and void now.
Yeah, but this isn't, this annexation, let's say that the contract is basically for all kinds of purposes, it could be considered null and void. We could have a fight, but that doesn't change the annexation. If it gets annexed, we can accept it or not accept it if we decide to go something else. So it actually adds value to our property anyway. So that's why I say we're not risking it as much as they are. Why it has a lot more risk in this than we are right now.
Right. Well, I guess my thought is you put it for the 20th or whatever after the 18th and it closes. You know, it either closes then or it moves on. By then you know that the annexation has been complete. So maybe you guys can wrote that down. That's just a thought.
Well, 2 weeks or whatever it is, it's less than we did for Curtis. We give him months to try and get things. So I would concur with Dan.
Well, it's 2 weeks from now, right? Because
that would be about the 20th.
Yeah. Ended a while back, didn't it?
It's an interpretation. It's pretty clear that our interpretation, the way it's written, because it was upon Roosevelt City's acceptance. But there could be a fight there, and I don't know if it's worth 2 weeks.
So, was there any time delay after it's approved, the hearing, for the lieutenant governor to record it?
That's going to be there. The lieutenant, traditionally, that's been the hang-up. Time-wise, anyway. Lieutenant Governor's office takes a while. Traditionally, it could take 2 months.
I got Deidre's phone number.
Perfect.
Cell phone, if you want to call her.
We can, that'd be awesome. We're trying to expedite it as far as Roosevelt
City. Oh, Miss Henderson.
Not this one, but we're trying to fine-tune the annexation process because traditionally it's been taking 6 months, and it's been mostly on the Lieutenant Governor's side.
But that's summary. Not... He's not going to pull that card. He said he just was trying to beg us to wait till the public hearing is over.
Right. Yes. And I had the same conversation that you just brought up with him. Same concern.
So you're not going to try to pull that?
That's what I told him. I said, look, my concern is I know the board is going to ask this question, exactly what you guys' concern is. And I said, at some point, you're going to have to draw the line. He's like, well, his partner was concerned that the public hearing...
But derail it?
Yes.
Or had a risk there.
Had a risk. So after the...
Just tell him, say, there's no risk. You put it in the alfalfa, and they'll pay for it in 2 years.
Right.
So, as I understand it, the lieutenant governor just records it. They don't regulate anything. They don't say yes or no.
It's formality at that point.
Right.
They've never turned down in probably the history, maybe they have, but as far as my knowledge goes, they have not turned down any annexations from the lieutenant governors.
I very, very doubt that they would.
Yeah. So if it makes it through the 18th meeting, they approve it, it's pretty well a done deal.
Just got to wait it out.
Yeah. And he's aware of that.
Okay. So then, through something, we'll give them until the 20th and then go from there. Or close or go. Or go do something else.
The 20th would be a Thursday, just so you know.
Okay.
So the city meeting means they're working Thursday, not Friday.
Right. Exactly.
So in the city's meeting, is the 18th.
Tuesday the 18th.
And we're supposed to close on the 20th.
Yes.
So we just, actually, we're just waiting to set back and wait, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no...
he has...
It's going to bother us.
Wyatt has the bigger risk right now. He has... If I was him, I would be nervous.
Because if something went wrong, we'd have an annexation.
Right.
And can start over.
Right.
Yeah, and so he's holding the bigger risk. So he's actually at us, you know, he's holding the biggest risk.
So do you know what
he obviously holds formally?
Patry, has he already bought Patry's, or is it contingent on annexation as well?
I don't know their details, but I do know that they partnered up at some level. And I don't know what. That's haven't been disclosed to me. I know the easement, though, or the easement coming through Patry's was going to be separate, though. So they will have access from that side, Wyatt will, to the Johnson property.
But all of Patry's is going to be annexed.
So how much do we have? How many acres did we have?
On that letter it said 100 and something acres.
Well, there's 175, so take away our 55, or what do we have, Johnson?
Yeah.
Is it 55?
60.
So there's 115 Patry's. So I think it's probably all it is on, but it will stay in agriculture.
For
now. But if, annexing in agriculture.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're pretty well good on that.
Okay.
All right. Next item of business is utility finance assistance. Financial assistance. This was brought up last meeting. Where are we at with that?
I sent everybody the thing. I have the paper.
Was it in the minutes or was it?
It's probably not in the minutes. I emailed everybody a copy of what Drew sent me.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know if anybody's read it or not.
It's in an email?
Yep.
I read when Drew sent it to me earlier, so I read it then. Trying to remember what the heck it was even about anymore. Where did we leave off last time?
We were going to have her call, I think, that lady, and do some...
Did you call anybody?
I didn't call anybody. I just forwarded and printed this one off, so I guess.
You got the
copy of that?
You got a copy of the document?
I think this was the same thing.
How long ago was that?
It would have been right after the board meeting for the next day. I think
I got it on the September 8th. Yes, September 8th. So there's really nothing, no actionable items tonight until we understand how we're doing this, right? I mean, what the administrative side of it looks like, right? That's what we were making sure of.
So it says, is this an ongoing program? No. It is a time-limited program that will end September 30th of 2023.
Yes.
So, yes, we were to, because we have to submit through UBAG.
The lady's information on that email, she's the one, the contact for this program.
She felt confident that it would be refunded, or sorry, not refunded. What's the word?
Process paid?
Refunded, I guess. Not refunded, but it'll be funded. It'll be funded ongoing past the date. But we have to implement a application, and it was in that email, I believe. But for further knowledge on what we need to do, that's...
So does the board want to try to accept this? I guess is the question. Do we want to be a part of this program?
I think we've already discussed that last time. We're going to look into it a little further.
But there was, I mean, obviously,
right.
I mean, we want to make action now because we can go ahead and move forward with it and just say let's go on board with it. If there was. Or we can move.
Karen, did you feel like there was a bunch more work that you needed to do?
I don't know.
Make this program?
I didn't search. I just don't like this. Each contract, grantee, employer, volunteer who has access to the customer's personal information must sign this non-disclosure agreement at the beginning of the grant or upon hire. A signed copy of this agreement must be in each employee volunteer file subject to inspection and review by the Department of Workforce Service. So, what it amounts to me is that I must sign this. Well, that's one of you guys do. And I don't know if I want to sign it. I've got my name on enough papers on here.
So, what are we signing then?
This is, if we do it, then the way I take it is you've got to, whoever's going to take and do the customer, because you're going to have all their private information and everything on there.
Right.
And so you're going to have to sign the paper saying that you won't disclose anything or blah, 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 you know.
Right.
And if anything comes out, you know, and Workforce Service can review it, you know.
So what's the risk there, I guess?
Well, like I say, I've been gone, but reading through this, it's like the water provider shall comply with the following measures to prevent security breaches. Failure to meet the requirements will result in liability against the water provider. All workstation updates must be installed within 72 hours of the patch software service pack release dates. Anyway, it goes through. You have to install the most recent OS service pack, install the most recent OS security updates, install the most recent patches for applications including but not limited to Adobe Acrobat, PDF, Reader, Flash, Java, QuickTime, and Microsoft Office. That's through five, and there's 14. It's like the bureaucracy is just overwhelming.
It's a government program.
And then the only ones who qualify until it changes are people who have had their water cut off or have received a disconnect notice. And nobody else, lower income, qualifies at this time. It may be expanded later, it says, but right now, those are the only two people. So, in order to qualify, you don't pay your bill, I guess.
Right.
So anybody can qualify. Just don't pay your bill.
But
if you wait for them to pay the bill through the government until you turn the water back on, I don't know. Maybe it's how big of a problem is unpaid bills.
Okay, we can put it on here.
How much money did we bring in so far on late fees and stuff?
Yeah, how many late fees?
That's one line item I hate. You know,
I think there's like 30,000 this year.
I just hate to see the budget on that. Oh yeah, 30 grand.
Yeah.
Holy moly! Last year we had $8,000 in late fees at this time. This year we've got 30,000. And I hate that line item because that, you know, people
help last year and 30 so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, though, is Exhale.
Oh, that's right. We had
Exhale paid it twice. So
how much was that?
That's just late fees. That's not necessarily cut-offs, is it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
is it shut off? No, it's just late fees. Well, once they're cut off, then they have to pay a fee to have it reconnected.
No.
The way I do the linklets around here is they're sent out a paper. Usually they get sent out a paper. And then on that day that passes, then I go through and who hasn't made a payment, then I call everybody and leave it. Talk to them or leave a message telling them that the water will be getting shut off. And then I do the little door knockers and the guys take them around. And you'd be surprised how many people.
This program we're talking about is basically for those people that can't, that don't pay, right, or can't afford it. So the late fees really have nothing to do with it.
Well, that'll be the first.
So
that's an indicator.
How many do you have that you cannot collect money from, or you don't collect money from?
We collect from everybody. Or they don't get their water.
Well, they need that.
Sometimes the church pays for it.
Yeah.
But that's what this program is for, right?
Yeah.
To collect that. So is it a real problem?
Some people, on the delinquents that pay their late fees, it's not because they don't have the money, it's that they just don't pay it.
Yeah.
And then after the late fee, then they pay, after they... I don't understand their logic.
If you have a way to collect that money by turning off the water.
So we don't have that many. We don't really turn off that many connections.
There's not very many people that get turned off.
So
if
really
we do that process.
A real problem with Johnson Water, then, is it?
It's not a big problem as far as people getting the water turned off.
I think this is the same guy that was... He was giving me a hard time about it. I was at his neighbor's house, and he was telling me that why didn't we participate in this program? I don't think that guy has ever missed. He's never. I don't think he's one who's got a notice that his water's going to be turned off. And he just is low income, and he wants assistance. But this program right now won't give him anything.
It's not assistance. It's not an assistance program, is it? Basically.
Well, according to UBAG, you would qualify.
He would?
According to UBAG.
Because it says here, it says that currently it's only people whose water has been shut off or have received a disconnect notice.
I don't know, you have to call Kevin, but they said he would qualify.
So that has changed then?
Does he qualify because of finance of it?
I think there must be another aspect that you're not reading Dixon or something, but they... The whole trigger to this is I had a complaint from a neighbor up on the bench. Lynn Holden. Yeah.
So your concerns is the security requirements of privacy, right?
Well, it's like we have to sign this thing saying we're going to all of the security on our data systems so that they can't be hacked or anything. So it's like we already do that.
So we should already have it then.
But we got, as far as being up to date with the latest Acrobat reader and all that kind of stuff, I don't.
So they do the payment, I think, through online or through the portal or something, right? You have to, I don't know. There's a lot of things that we probably don't know about the program, but if we do it, we need whoever the contact is that I sent you the email to Karen and everybody. Or that would be the contact that we would need to call to find out exactly what the program entails.
It's like here's one. Information shall not be stored on any server accessible from the internet or by unauthorized water provider personnel. It's like, who's that? Who's unauthorized water provider personnel? Is that Jim?
That would be me.
I was going to say it was me.
You're unauthorized water provider personnel.
And maybe it's something they would be willing to come in and and give some training on it or pitches their program, but maybe not. So, anyway, there are people that are struggling, whether financially, some people can't make their payments. It's an avenue. I'm sure this is going to be the last time I think we're going to see a lot more of this financial assistance come up. So whether it's this one or another one, we probably better get on board with one of them at some point to help some people out. They're there. It doesn't cost us any money, but it does help us receive the funding for it. Otherwise, if they're delinquent or not, according to staff, they're not very many, so maybe it's not worth looking into.
Is it worth the effort, or I was going to say, but worth putting the time into it for what? It's little we would use it.
It's a service.
But it's, you can't think that way, I guess. It's, if one individual needed it, I don't know.
I have my opinion on it. It seems like it would be a lot easier if a customer had trouble paying their bill that they went down to
UBAG
and says, look, I can't pay this, and UBAG wrote us a check.
Yeah, that's not how the program works, though.
I know. I'm just saying, in a perfect...
But UBAG wants the company to do the work. Is that right? Am I right there? So they don't want to do it that way because somebody else can do the work.
Well, no, they have a dedicated division for this right now. There's contact, that's what I've been saying. The lady that I sent the email to, she is the contact that we probably need to call if we want to pursue this. She'll give us the information for this program. She said this is a lot of language, a lot of legal documents, but she said a lot of it's, they have to have it, their disclaimers, whatever have you, but if we want to know what the program, we can contact her.
So it's the lawyer paying? Mm-hmm.
Yes. I talked to her on the phone. She's a very pleasant lady to talk with, very helpful. If we want staff to contact and do a little more research on it, that would be a direction we could go, or we don't entertain it at all and move on.
I would imagine the reason they want, just assuming, the reason they want us to administrate is because we would have the knowledge to know whether they actually are in default, they actually, have issues. It was shut off because they could pay the bill, then go get some more money out of them. You know, I think probably if I was, and I probably shouldn't say this, but it may be their concern that they don't, if they pay them, they don't just go spend it on something else.
No, pay the water bill. They pay it directly to us, and in order to do that, there's got to be mechanisms in place.
That's just my assumption.
It might be a pain in the butt. It may not be worth looking into, but it might help to just call Lori and...
So was there a second contact besides Lori, too? What did you say, Roosevelt signed up for it?
Yeah, Roosevelt just signed up for
it. So we could call and say, how is it? Have they went through the process?
Don't know a lot of details on that end, but I could find out if you'd like.
I'm just saying they could give an objective third-party assessment and say, yeah, this is more of a pain than it's worth, or...
Just talking with Kevin briefly, asking him the same questions we're discussing, are other people involved in this program? He said, yes, Roosevelt City. I don't know if Ballard is or not, but...
But if our staff wanted a level of comfort, if Karen wanted a level of comfort, not just Paige, call Paige, get her to know it, and then say, hey, how you guys manage it? We had an issue. Any calls?
But for a year program, it's a lot of work to, if it doesn't get funded again, it's a lot of work to get it.
Yeah. Well, it's not a year. It's up in February.
February 23.
Oh.
So it's just a few months away.
Yeah. Time is short.
It might be wise to wait to see if it's funded again.
It's kind of like some of these programs open the Pandora box. Mm-hmm. Joe hears about it, and his water getting paid for, and so Mo decides that his needs to be paid for. And it,
So it actually ends September 30th of 2023.
Oh, so it's a year out then.
But a household may only receive benefit assistance from the program once in a program season, October to September. So what does that mean? That it, at one time they receive a shutoff notice?
Yeah.
So if they get another shutoff notice, they don't get assistance?
I don't know.
Then we get, like Dad said, they only get one benefit from it.
True that.
Well, the season, though, I don't know what it is.
That's what it sounds like to me, is, I don't know.
One time.
And that's where the contact come in, right? Ask those questions to the
program. Yeah, we need to look into it.
Yeah.
If it's not too hard, we can do it.
I would like at least to reach out to the, whatever her name was,
Lori
Page, at least somebody from staff, and get a little bit more information. I can ask Roosevelt, or you guys.
She's in UBAG in Roosevelt?
She's not in Roosevelt. She's in the Salt Lake branch.
Oh.
So she's over the program.
I've seen her number and stuff at the bottom.
But she's really good to call you back. Discuss things. So.
Water assistance program specialist.
Yeah. And it may not be something.
So what is the direction from the board?
Dixon, are you comfortable at least getting a little information from
you? Yeah.
Okay.
Try to highlight some of your questions that you got when you went through that.
Yeah, those would be good.
You know, the one-time payment, if it's 1 month, it's not probably
enough. That's,
but if it covers a year, might be a good thing. I think like Dan to open up a whole box of,
and maybe that can't happen, I don't know. I've seen other programs that we're kind of taking advantage of. Pretty big product.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that told them that I'm probably the one that's taking advantage of the program.
Right.
Not us, but.
All right.
Next item. Call session. Needed. Any old business or any other things that need to come from the board?
If you're going to do a
Christmas party. My wife told me they haven't asked that, so apparently you listen better than I did. So this year, what's the temperature of the board on a Christmas party?
Has it been a normal practice?
Every year except COVID.
I guess it needs to continue.
Can I agree this year, man?
What we've done in the past, we've catered. We've held it here and just had a caterer bring stuff. Last year we went to the Hideout, which I think that was, I like that, just because it was easy and not a burden.
Except we didn't get the room we were supposed to.
Yeah, we did have a little bit of snag on that, and we kind of had to squish a little bit, didn't we? Or kind of had us an angle, but anyway, so we can just go somewhere to eat, or we can cater. We've done that in the past. Like I said, I enjoy just going out and eating and making a DT, like relax for everybody.
Taco Fiesta it is. They're at Kim's now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just kidding.
What do you ask?
You can go out and eat, just make it simple, or you can do it here and put the pressure on Dixon and Karen and Jim to have it ready here or whatever, you know.
And we just have a caterer, there's no pressure on us.
Yeah, but I mean,
we set up tables and the caterer comes in with the prime rib.
Right.
Or whatever.
Seems as how I haven't been to one yet, I guess you'd have to take you guys' recommendation.
The problem with having a caterer here is we're having a lack of people that are doing that now.
Lack of caterers.
Yeah, we used to have Rick do it quite a bit. We had Erkenbrack, which I hear he's hanging
kind
out.
Of, yeah, for the.
So the only for our small group too, it's really hard to find people to cater.
Didn't we have one year and then they dropped us because they got a bigger client or something?
That was Rick's bunch. Anyway, didn't need to mention names, sorry. But we've talked about potluck before too, but like Dusty said, who wants to cook their own Christmas dinner? So
let's go to Hideout again.
We can do that. We need to schedule it early though, because last year was a little bit of a shred to try to get the dates we needed.
Yeah, speaking of dates, so...
Sounds like the best thing from my point of view is like go out to something like to Hideout.
Okay. Paul? Thumbs up?
That works.
Dan? Taryn? Dixon? Drew? Mm-hmm. Okay, easy. Now, date.
We did it early last year, if I remember right. We, like, the first week of December?
Yeah.
If there's any way that we could do it the first part of a week, it would be way better than the end of the week.
Yes.
Because I've got commitments on almost every one at the end of the week.
Early in the month to have it. Like, here's going to be the schedule.
Like December 1st?
That's early, yeah.
That's Thursday.
That's a Thursday.
Well, I know some places with a search and rescue, we decided not through December. We have our had it 1st of January, right after the...
Oh, really?
After the first of the year. And,
That's an idea, too.
Everything's kind of quiet. Oh, yeah.
You search the rescue people. You've done that for years.
Well, they've had it out there anymore. Yeah.
Right? 1st of December?
I'm good with the 1st.
Mr. Ferdin said to move it. Didn't you say to the first part of the week?
Well,
that week after, right? Or was it
for me, it'd be a lot better if it was the first part of the week.
Sorry, Dan. I thought you meant the second week of December.
What about the 29th?
Well, I come to think of it, it can't be on the 29th. Wednesday, the 7th or 14th? Or the
Probably not 14th because you're getting too.
How about the 30th?
I'm game.
Friday.
That's Wednesday. Calendar.
Oh, the 30th of November.
What?
Wednesday is that?
Wednesday, 30th.
Wednesday.
30th of November.
Your stomach will be all expanded from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we can eat. We don't have to take a doggy bag. I like that.
I guess you'd have to check those with them and see if they've got something already scheduled. I know a lot of Christmas parties get scheduled.
Yeah, they get scheduled up.
We're early this year, so we'll be one of those early birds.
Do it on a Monday or Tuesday.
Dan said it's out Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Friday.
What, Dan? You said the first.
Yeah, I did, and I apologize for that.
So basically, you're good on Wednesday, though, right?
Paul?
Wednesday the 30th?
Either the 30th or the 7th is fine for me.
Yeah, 30th.
We can start heating up in December, though. That gets busy quick.
I'm better on the 30th than I am the 7th.
Me too. Karen, is that date not going to work for you, or...?
I have no idea. I've got the calendar here, but right now.
You want to check with Jim and Ryan? I guess that's probably me too. Maybe consult them as well and see if that works for them.
Well, let's.
Is there any hunting going on that week?
Well, there's extended archery, but I don't think any of us qualify for that.
I know that's where Ryan's going.
On Wednesday. Which day are you talking about?
Wednesday on the 30th of November.
30th of November.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like everybody here, we're good on it. So if Jim and Ryan's good on it, we need to lock a room up.
You know what? I think I have cattle on the 30th. 30th, 1st, and 2nd. Let me look. I'll call Karen and tell her. Well, and if you have to eat without me, it's the way it is.
And the 29th, you're out the 29th, is it?
29th.
Tuesday the 29th? Or Monday the 28th?
December?
No, November.
That's I just have young single adult stuff those two nights on Tuesday.
Friday the 2nd?
No, that's not going to work for you, though.
The 1st or the 2nd?
I know the cattlemen's meetings in Salt Lake are on the
1st.
Maybe it's just the 1st and 2nd of December. Let me look at the calendar when I get to home.
You have one of those two.
Well, what's plan B? Because we won't be able to discuss it until next meeting. I mean, not efficiently anyway.
Is it the 30th or the 7th, I'd say.
Well, I was looking at the 7th. But
does the 7th look good for
you? If we can get arranged out there, I'll know.
Ask him about the 7th.
Is it just is that good for you, though? Because I heard you say something 7th.
Well, I said 7th is not as good as the 30th for me, because I potentially may have to be in Salt Lake, but
I'll make a phone call.
I should be okay on the 7th. There's just a risk I might even tell, but I doubt it. Drew had an issue on the 7th.
You plan it. If we can go, we can go. That's kind of how I look at it. It's like,
there's just so many Christmas activities that just go up.
Well, for me, it's going to be basketball season for my daughter, and that's going to be hard to.
Yes, it's really tough to get everybody there. You better got to just pick a date. Hopefully the majority can go.
How about this? If you don't go, then when you the $30 gift certificate or whatever, we'll pick up there and they can have it.
Oh, there you go.
You work.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody that's up for re-election this year? Apparently we don't.
Me and Drew will be going up.
You too?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Mark, we're getting kind of close to...
Right.
I thought it was another year.
What is that?
Next year.
I wish I'll see
you. Three of you.
For January?
Huh?
For the...
No, next.
We have to file on the 23rd, or the June, this June, right? We have to file for re-election.
Oh, so we got another year.
Yeah, we got to hold them. Yeah, we have to go through the election process next year.
Oh, I thought you meant this January.
So there you go.
Oh, that's true. You would hear what you thought you wanted to hear.
Yeah. So you guys know what else? Is that what you're saying, or you're real?
We will be having, next year will be election year.
Next year, okay.
2023 will be happening.
No one has said anything. I don't know how this.
We'll get to train up.
Two years alternating.
Okay.
It's Drew, I, and Paul. And then it's...
2 and 3.
Yep.
All right, or 2 years. Okay.
So they're trying.
I just haven't heard anything, and I'm wondering, we're getting close to the end there.
Yeah, Drew and I and Paul are up next year.
Mm-hmm. So their term ends December 31st.
Of 2023.
Cattlemen's is the 30th through the 2nd.
What are you doing, Cattlemen's? Is that just going out there and partying?
Yeah.
It's a
party.
Eating a 3-day party. Eating chicken.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. So...
It's the annual meeting.
Yeah. What we said is whatever date that it actually ends up, because we've got to still 2 more people, we've got to get it scheduled. We said if you can't make it, if you make it, you make it. If you can't, then we'll just get the gift certificate for you and your wife to go.
So, but you go from the 30th to the 2nd.
So we already know that will come.
Yeah, I'm out.
Check either the 30th or the 7th with Ryan and Jim.
And the hideout.
So maybe push for the 7th?
Well, we got 2 days. Jim and Ryan, just see what they can do and try to get as many people as you can on one of those dates, I guess.
Yeah. Because we have conflicts on both, so. But if not, what? $30 gift certificate, $40 gift certificate.
Whatever dinner.
$40 is probably what it'll end up. What the average is, isn't it, Karen?
We're expensive anymore.
Yeah, I'd say
for two. So.
I'd say $40, at least a $40 certificate. If you don't make it, that way everybody gets a dinner, even though they don't get to enjoy
the camaraderie.
Yeah. Or you just do that anyway. Just give everybody their point.
That map is very hard to read.
I said that last time that they need to do a little bit better job, and he did a little better, but...
Well, it must look better on the computer.
It does. Right? It looks a lot better on the computer.
Okay. So...
So what they need to do is broaden their lines.
I looked at mine, and my area looks like I thought it did.
I can't even tell.
Other than I didn't realize we didn't have this annexed in. That's East Mighton.
Was that in the UNA County?
Mm-mm. Yeah. UNA County's right here, so... Yeah, part of the
beans, can I get them?
Well, no, thank you, man.
I heard about it earlier, I got a little fixed.
Well, I think we're good.
Okay.
Any other business? I got to sign this paperwork, right? Is this, do we have any business on this? Do I have any business? Do these guys have anything on this? I've got to sign it, right? We've already moved forward. Right. I got this, I don't know if there's any issue here, signing this water board for the independence, or water grant, or water forgiveness loan program from drinking water for the IELCA, or the independence system.
We already did that, right?
Yeah, I thought so. I'm signing it tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think there was any issue, I couldn't remember.
I think we need to, on the 19th, before that property signed over, have a bonfire over in the northwest corner.
Roll some hot dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. Tires.
Pardon?
Tires.
We can throw some tires on after the hot dogs.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be very good hot dogs.
Blackened hot dogs.
My brother went to a mutual thing when he was a kid.
Nobody's adjourned it yet.
Cooked his hot dog over a tiki torch.
Oof.
He'd never eaten another hot dog.
Oof. I wouldn't taste it very good.
Was it citronella?
It was like kerosene.
I'd say it'd be better if it was citronella. Citronella. Okay. Brew moves that we adjourn. Right?
Yep. I did.
Okay.
Enjoy your evening.
Have a good evening, gentlemen.